That's right. That's right. If you need healing in your body, the healing anointing is here.
Thank you, God.
Come on up.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what? Even if you've been getting discouragement, kind of hopelessness, and just depression, and repressed, oppressed. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We just worship you, Father God. Holy, holy, holy.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, magnify you, Lord. Glory to God. You know, his healing power is already done. And it's done in us, especially us, the body of Christ. The healing power of God. And see, there's so much out there, and that's what you have to get far away from that, the just even the world and everything that's being said out there, because it has a tendency to push us down. It's trying to push us down. It always has, but it's a lot worse right now. And that's where you rise above that. And you bring joy. You bring the joy of the Lord. And Denise, if you don't come up here, I'm going to get you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know what? Just believe. What can I say? He's already done it. He's the healer. It's absolutely done.
Amen.
And now the part is on our part to believe it and to receive it and to know that he is willing to heal you. Just like the leper, you know, he had an unclean spirit. That's what caused that leprosy. But he said, I know you can heal, Lord, but are you willing to heal me? And the Lord said, I am willing. And, you know, lepers couldn't touch anybody, but God hugged him. God hugged him. And just know God is hugging you. You know, somebody told me I want you to visualize this, that there's a movie coming out pretty soon, and Tony said it, and then Lonnie said he saw some of the trailer of that, and he said it's a little girl who is laying hands on people and they're being healed, but they show a vision of the Lord with his hand on that little girl's shoulder. His hand is on my shoulder.
Amen.
He's the one who's healing you. Not, I can't do nothing. I can't. It almost makes me cry, but it's just we're vessels to be used, and he pushes the power through us. You know, people would make fun. Well, what's that? You're being pushed over, and sometimes people are, sometimes people aren't. I mean, not they're never being pushed over, and it's just even the anointing will get so strong inside of us that God, because he's going like this and going through, and he wants to give it to him, and it goes through you, and you about fall on top of him. I mean, I felt that. I don't want to be no fake. My God, if you're a fake, you're done. And I will not be fake with that kind of stuff. No way, no way, never, ever, ever. Yes, what about the soldiers? All Jesus said was, I am, and they all fell over. The power of God was so strong in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am. And he could have ran away because they were all out. Right then and there. So just know, he works through us. He works through people. that he's anointed and appointed. Thank you. Yeah, I need to use that. Thank you, Father. God makes me cry and then my nose runs. He's a real, real God. He's so real, so real. And he's a healer. You know what? He's already healed people, period. You know, and there's something you need to change. Ask him. You ask him. So, thank you, Father. Can you play "It Is Your Love," or is that what you were praying? Playing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you want to put the words up there so everybody see, the more you participate, the stronger the anointing gets in here. You have a part to play with these people. If this was you up here, you'd want the people to be there. See, I know the anointing is strong. I didn't even know she fell. Okay, see, she fell over and on because the anointing is here.
Amen.
Not me. It's the anointing. And I was going to say something else about that. Oh, sure. When I tried to get, I thought they were done, and I tried to get up here, I almost fell over. I thought, yeah, it was the worship. Sure. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for that healing power in those hips in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for that. I'm just going to touch her. Thank you, Father, for that healing power. A useful vessel in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Go ahead and sing with them. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that healing power of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Every bit. Satan, I bind you from her. I command you to cease and desist in every maneuver and activity to stop. You have tried to push her back, and you will no longer do that. She is a child of God. She's strong in the Lord and in the power of her might. She was crucified with Christ. She died. She was buried, and she was resurrected. And the resurrection power of God is working in this body, in every single bone, in every single joint, in every single area, in every single part of her body. And you will no longer torment her or harass her from her family and from other people in the name of Jesus. Stop it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the healing power of God to work in her, Lord God. And reach out to him. Reach out to him. Thank you, Lord God. You deserve it. He wants to do it for you. And so I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the healing power. Thank you, Father. Yes, a healed body. Thank you, Father. Strong, Jesus. You are strong anyway. You are strong in the Lord and in belief of God. And I know that, you know, he says, she trusts me. Trust him with all your heart. And he will deliver you once and for all from all of this. The devil cannot do that. Remember the word she says in verse 6. It says, "We," and this is out of the King James, "we speak wisdom among them that are mature. Yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing or to naught. But rather," now we're going to switch to the Amplified, "but rather we are setting forth," what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. You know why? Because you got born again. Okay. "That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages." He did it way back. Did you know that you were already, that Jesus died on the cross way in the foundations of the world before the earth was ever created? He did. He did it way ahead of time. "Before the ages, for our glorification, to lift us up into the glory of his presence. Why? Wow, to lift us up in the glory of his presence. He wants to lift us up in the glory of his presence. Hey, he wants to lift us up. Don't you think that's a big deal? See, you got to take the Bible serious. I'm saying some real words there. He wants to lift us up in the glory of his presence. That's how he didn't do that to the angels or anybody else, to us only. Wow. None of the rulers of this age or world, verse 8, perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, now, this is your plan for life. What eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready. A little stipulation in here. For those who love him. For those who really love him, for those who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him. See, now I had, no matter what anybody thought, I had to obey because he told me he picked out those kids. Obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed to people, to who's us? To people who are born again. And revealed them by and through his Spirit. See, you got his Spirit living in you once you're born again. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God. Sounds like this person is also spirit-filled. The divine counsels and hidden things and beyond man's scrutiny. And I actually said, as you pray in tongues. See, that's what happens. Dutch Sheets has been saying more and more about us praying, even for 5 minutes. You know, 5 minutes, it goes into a bowl and it's incense before, it says that in Revelation, it goes before the throne of God like incense going before the throne. When that bowl is full, the prayers of the saints are poured out on the earth in order to do something. So every time you pray, it's being filled up. Do you realize how much God needs us? And how much, especially praying in tongues, because you know not how to pray, but you're praying directly to the Father. The devil can understand your prayers, but he can't understand tongues. He cannot understand tongues. No, he cannot. It's a direct prayer, and it actually says it in Corinthians, directly to God. Directly to God. He's the one you're going to. And it's extremely important. You may not know what you say, and sometimes God will interpret it. But it's very, you know, Oral Roberts University, one of the best of the Christian universities who actually practice Christianity. they have teachers that are spirit-filled there. And one of them did and knew the brain, a surgeon, and knew the brain, and he said that it actually helps you stay mentally stable also. I don't have that notebook here, but I have a thick thing full of that it it does something to a part of your brain that never functions unless you pray in the Holy Ghost. You become smarter because you know his wisdom. The most genius person in the world only knows, like I always, a fourth of a teaspoon of what that God knows. I mean, God knows more. That genius knows 1/4 of a teaspoon compared to what God knows. He knows it all. I mean, and scientists who are prideful, you see, you do. Oh, you say God understands radar? Are you kidding? God, he's the one who invented everything. He tells men how to do it. Well, I guess all of this, I even in the scripture, what does this have to do with tithes and offerings? See, we have an anointing and we have the power to get wealth. It's not our education. It's not our looks. I mean, like movie stars, you know what I mean? There is no toil in prospering when you're absolutely in the spirit realm. See, if it's toil, then it isn't. Okay, after 42 years of being a Christian, I'm seeing it. It's like, huh? What? I'm shocked. You get shocked. So keep this in mind and keep it up. I want to say this with all the sincerity of your heart. You're still trying to operate in the world's Babylonian system when you don't believe that way. He wants you to have it. He wants you to take over. Thank God. I mean, somebody like Donald Trump is a millionaire, a billionaire, and you know, knows God now. But see, the enemy tells people, or the church, they'll tell people, well, that church just get taking that stuff because they just want your money. Oh my gosh, I don't want anybody's money. I'd rather you didn't even give money. Mm-mm. And we always give. You see a lot of pastors, I mean, you up here, do you see them give? I don't know. You've never, ever seen us stop. And I give every single time we give, don't we? And that's not tithe. This is offering. Because we get Social Security once a month. Well, and not that I'm, but I've seen this work. See, even if it's a nickel, you're given something. What about her penny going into billions after a while? See, okay. So the enemy, and I've heard that before, they just want you. Would you like to come to a church where you have some air conditioning or some heat? Where you have a chair to sit on? Where you could use the fellowship hall all the time? Yeah. What about the toilets? Yeah, you want them clean? You don't want junk all over the bathroom floor, you know. You know, it takes something to run the building, too. But see, people are willing to give money to everyone else, like the bank or the charge cards, but you don't want it to go to the only one who can help you. He's the only, and it's not me helping, it's him. He can help you. He can help you. You see, you don't weed whack poverty. You weed whack at home. Pretty soon we'll probably start to have to do that, or out here. And it all just comes back. This is a different realm. See, you need to operate in the spirit realm. not the Babylonian system, and particularly when it comes to finances. But see, people who aren't born again can't even understand that because they don't have the Spirit of God. So don't even try. But it's nobody, my God, if we're trying to get money out of you, I'll tell you what. You watch all those churches doing, when their motive is wrong in their heart about any of this stuff, they're gone. They're going to be gone pretty soon. They're going to be gone. And the Holy Ghost too. The Holy Ghost, if we can't have, you don't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost until you speak in tongues. Until you have the, and we're not trying to get the speaking in tongues when you lay hands on people for that. What we're trying is to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. This is probably, or maybe even less than this, when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes. He actually comes to work on your spirit like a wineskin and make a new wineskin in there to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be poured on you and in you. It has to overflow. That's right. It has to overflow. It's like one a lady, a very godly lady, who actually is Mike Key's pastor. I don't know. She must be almost 90 now. She was sharp as a tack. And she said the overflow of it is like little canoes coming out of your belly in the water. And those were the gifts of the Spirit operating, the little canoes, the nine gifts of the Spirit. Yeah, it was. You know, I've never forgotten that. So, you know, that's something. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Ask Him. One of the best places is the shower. Or the bathtub. When you're all alone. But, okay, Philippians 4:19 says, my God. And in fact, there's a version that says, on the scale of His wealth in heaven will supply all your needs. According, see, and that's according to His riches and glory. Now, I want to tell you, someone already died to give you an inheritance. Who died?
Jesus.
You didn't have to have your grandpa die. Somebody already died to give you an inheritance. What do you think this is? This is His last will and testament to you. So, the natural, there's a natural realm, there's a supernatural realm. And redemption has laid up the financial supply for us in that supernatural realm. And who can explain it? Nobody. But see, when you start to trust, this is a supernatural book. When you start to trust the supernaturalness of this book and the words that God said, you can say, you know, you can make a kid, memorize like Proverbs 3:5-6, but make it be real to you. Do you really trust Him with your money? Do you trust Him with all your heart? And you don't lean to your own understanding because you're understanding in the natural world. And so in all your ways, when you get something or do something, you acknowledge Him. You say, God, should I do this? Is this the time for this? Make Him direct your path. And He will direct it. He'll say no, no, or He'll say yes. See, that's the way you operate in that whole thing, because He has got a supply for your need. And it's not natural, but God meets your needs by bringing it out of the supernatural realm. And the spirit realm will affect finances. The angels have a big part of it. You know what? I know people that had nothing, and they'll come and they'll start tithing or giving, and I'm not even asking. I'm just trying, I just want you to know this. But tithing or giving offerings, why? Because it says it in the Word. I know some people don't want to hear this. The devil is actually going like this. If you could see in the spirit realm, he'd go like this. I don't hear it. I don't understand it. The Word of God is super above natural. It's super. It's above natural. And when the angels, like, you can dispatch them to go. You can dispatch them to bring land to you to help supply. And they, angels are people who work for us. They're co-laborers with God for us. And you know, lately we've been talking about how Dutch Sheets was saying how God wants us to co-labor with Him for the United States of America. And He cannot do it without you. He cannot do it unless you pray so the bowls get filled and then they pour out. And see, that's why it's taking so long to do this. Because people aren't praying. And I begged everybody, just if you pray in tongues, pray for even 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day. If you can't stand to do it that long, do it in 5-minute increments. But do it. I mean, if you're an older Christian, you should be going an hour. But you can do that in increments too, in 15-minute increments. It's just really important. He said he asked God. His wife was diagnosed with a cyst in her ovarian cyst. And he said, God, what should I do? And he said, pray in the Spirit. So he prayed in the Spirit an hour a day for 1 month. He didn't know how long it was going to take. But in 1 month, she was healed. It was gone. It disappeared. Because they were going to do surgery. And she didn't want to have surgery. Oh my gosh. There's all kinds of... okay, there was a young girl. Probably Alicia's age. And she was in an accident. And she was comatose. And they said she was brain dead for a whole year. And Dutch Sheets knew them. And he would go into the hospital at least once a week. And he would pray in the Spirit and he would speak over her. And he said it took, he asked God why it took over a year. He never failed to do it though. He constantly went, sometimes more than once a week. He would just sit there and pray in the Spirit and also speak English over her. And all of a sudden, after a little over a year, one day she just went, popped, woke up, and she was perfectly fine. Her brain was fine. And they had done all kinds of brain scans and stuff, and they said she was brain dead. But the Lord told him, I could finally, the bowl was filled, and I could pour it out over her body. That's the Lord actually told him that. He said the bowl was so full and I poured it over her body. And just like that, a miracle happened. Do you see how important your prayers are? So you know what? The leading of the Holy Ghost is so good. Turn to Romans 8. See, I really didn't know what to do today. But God always drags us. I told you that last night. I had about stuck. Romans 8. Well, you know, well, that tongue stuff is so goofy. You just go, come on. Ooh, after a while, it just flows out of you. And you know, tears will come in your eyes. You know it's real. Your hands start to shake. or it feels like there's like cotton or something in your, but it's heavy. It's heavy. Yes. Okay, Romans 8, and we're going to read verse. You know what? I want to start with verse 13. For if you live according, the Amplified, the dictates of the flesh. If you live according to your flesh, once you're a Christian, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by your body. See, even your thinking, it gets into, why did that? That's so what? See, you can control the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. You can just start speaking in them, bang, just like that. And stop them. It isn't that you're uncontrollable unless something is really going on that everybody's really in the spirit, and maybe it be for somebody dying or something like that. Okay. Putting to death, making it, okay. You shall really and genuinely live forever. If by the Holy Spirit you're putting to death things. Now here, for all that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. It says sons of God. But that means men and women. I could care less if they just always call me a son. But I'm just trying to emphasize it. The word there, and I don't know any kind of Greek, but I do know this one, is weasthesia. And weasthesia means growing up. Not the babies of God, not the toddlers of God, not the preteens, not the teens, but the mature sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. For the Spirit, verse 15, which you now have received, is not a spirit of torment and slavery to put you in bondage to fear. Just think of that. But you have received the Spirit of adoption. He literally adopted you. The Spirit producing sonship, honest to God. It's like an adopted child. Anybody adopted in here? Yep, you were. That's right. You were adopted. And it's like you got free of an orphanage or free of where you were and brought. It says producing and actually daughter or son in the more so of God than of your real parents. In the bliss by which we cry, Abba, or Daddy God, my Father. Oh, you're my Father. You know what? And He's given us full inheritance if you're a saint of God. Okay? And that Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. He'll tell you, you can tell by your spirit in here that you're a child of God if you're really born again. It says He bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Well, if He can bear witness that you're a child of God, then He can bear witness that you shouldn't go somewhere. He can bear witness that you shouldn't do something. He can bear witness with you that it's the wrong timing. Have you ever felt that, like, butterflies in your stomach? You don't even know why it's there. He's warning you about something if you're born again. Or not to marry somebody. Or to marry... He bears witness with you. What I always say this, what to do and what not to do. Where to go and where not to go. what to say and what not to say. So I am at the right place at the right time all the time. I do the right thing at the right time all the time. And I say the right thing all the time. I have to say that one more because I don't think I say the right thing all the time. But you could avoid a car accident that Satan had put together with his little demons. He said, hey, you have this car come from this block over here and then have them do this and then have them not stop at the light, you know, and you know, the Holy Ghost, folks, is very, very important. Let's go to Isaiah 48:17. I know this is different. I have another thing, though, that the Lord, I think, wants me to tell you. The other thing is about offense. Thus says the Lord, I'm going in the King James. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of you, of the church. I am the Lord thy God, which teaches you to profit. Oh, I teach you how to be poor. I teach you how to live so everybody looks at you and thinks, I'm not going to get born again. I don't want to live like that. Look at their trash. Look at the junk in their yard. Look how poor their house is. Look at their rags. Do you see what I'm talking about? We represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all gods. And then maybe we tell people, oh, gee, I just really had a tough time. And, you know, I got to have surgery. And I'm always, gee, I just hurt all over and blah, 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 blah. And they say, would you like to receive Jesus? And you go, forget that. I got all that stuff going on right now. Why would I want Jesus if that lived the same way? Do you see what I'm talking about? I don't see any victory in their life. I don't see any joy in their life. I don't see any happiness in their life. They're struggling all the time. Something is, you be led by the Spirit. See, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to lead you and to guide you. He tells you things to do that doesn't make sense. Yeah, like buying this church. Hey. You know, Margaret Cruz's husband, I mean, I was always asking his advice because he was always wise. You know, and he was. I always kind of felt like he was somebody, you know, a few of you men, you'd be surprised how much I want to ask you because men sometimes are more reasonable. I want the men to be in a position in this church. But I said to him, and I said something, do you think if we get that, you know, we can make it? And he said, well, it'll be a miracle if we do. But the miracle came. And that was even, he meant just affording the payment every month. Because it was, it was over $3,000 a month, the mortgage payment, plus the utility bill is high here. But I've never failed to not have the money. So, I mean, it's him. Oh, God. But we also give, overgive. We don't just tithe out there. We tithe what comes in. We way overgive. In fact, the banker said, you know, when he gave us the loan, he said, you got to stop giving that much. I think it was $40,000. Honest to God. It'll go up that high. And he says, now you stop that, and then I want to print out every single year of your finances and what you put, what you bought, and what you got in. It was a piece of cake, because FCF asked for the same thing. It was a piece of cake, and lawyers look at it from FCF. So, yeah. And so we keep all the assets and all the, you know, that's why we got categories. You know, this was like building. Most of it goes to the building, it seems. Building. This is for, you know, speaker, guest speaker. There's all kinds of categories. We used to have the van, so there was auto. Parking lot was building. It goes under that category. All kinds of stuff, you know, several. And we have to give that to him, so we do keep track, strict track. Okay, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. But the giving out there is way above. And God has always blessed it. And if stuff starts to get low, I'll give. Just like to Dufresne Ministries all of a sudden the other day, because stuff was looking lower. Just like that. So I gave away over a pound. And you have to trust God. Just like that. Just like that. Next day was Wednesday, money came in. Sunday, money, more money came in. Came in, came in, came in, came in. I went, God, you are something else. I mean, He is. He is something else. But you got to trust Him with finances. You know, I never expected to say all this. You've got to trust Him. But then you also have to be wise.
Yes.
See, the church is paid off. The parking lot is paid off. The church is debt free.
Yes.
Ken and I. You know, we built a house and I paid it off in 5 years. If you want to know how to pay something off, somehow there's an anointing to, and I'm not saying that as a pat on the back, but actually my kids do the same thing. And there's a way to do it. And sometimes you have to self-sacrifice a little bit and not be foolish. So, you know what? So the Holy Spirit will lead you. Our inheritance is in here. And there's actually more written about prosperity. Hey, when when a Christian doesn't have prosperity, how can they help anybody? How can you help people? You say, oh, a tornado came, and say, can you give to the poor? Sure. You know, maybe woman needs some flowers, you know, to cheer them up. Well, I don't got any because I can't even pay the rent, or I can't pay this and I can't pay that. So you've got to get rid of the poverty thinking. It came into the church by the devil. So the devil could take over. Who are all these people that are communists and socialists? They're billionaires trying to take over, except for Donald Trump. He's the only one that didn't, you know, do it in the evil way. He didn't even take a salary. See, I didn't take a salary either for 20 some years. No, I mean, I didn't. I you know what? It was just such a privilege, such an honor to just, huh? You picked me, huh? I mean, I've always felt like a, but see, you're almost scared. The fear of the Lord gets in you to do things right. The reverence of the Lord, because He is real. And I respect Him and honor Him too much to screw up with money or to screw up with other things. What I'm trying, okay, God, what is all this? I don't know what all this is. But you know, and we're joint heirs with Him. He will do it. He's already translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the king. And do you know what? All of this goes for healing in your body too. for having enough, for healing in your body, for, well, see, those are the two things. He redeemed us from poverty. He redeemed us from what? Spiritual, somebody said, and sickness and disease. And everybody believes, oh, you must get born again, and they get born again. But they don't believe the poverty part, and they don't believe the sickness part. He did it all. He did it all. He became poor so we could be rich. What is... The Spirit of the Lord, okay, Luke 4:19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So they ain't going to be poor no more. Just thought I would say it that way. So right there it said, He's anointed me to preach the gospel. Jesus said these words, to preach the gospel to the poor. So the answer to poverty is the gospel. It's the gospel, the good news. But see, you live in a different realm. There's a realm above the realm here. And see, you think, well, we're not supposed to have money, by golly, because, you know, you could... Yeah, if money is your God, don't make money your God. I could care. I mean, you know what? The more you care less about it, the more you get. You really have to put Him first. They're not whistling Dixie when they say that. But there was something else I was going to say about, what was I saying? It was right before that, and then I went off on another trail. Oh, well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know right now, but... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well. What? Yeah, got the mind of Christ. Hold the thoughts, feelings, plans, and purposes of God. And my memory is blessed. God, okay, well, I mean, really just think about it. You can't do anything when you can't even pay your house rent, when you can't pay for your car payment, or you can't pay for all these things. For one thing, I was blessed, even though my folks were never born again, really, that I knew they were Catholic, but they were good people. But honestly, some of this I probably learned from them when I look back, because they built a new house and paid cash for it, but they waited until they had it all. They never bought a car until they had cash for it. They couldn't even get, you couldn't even get a loan then. I mean, we're talking, my father was born in 1892, and my mother was born in 1910 or 12, something like that. So I mean, you couldn't even get loans then. And they went through the Depression also. I must say, some of that Depression stuff, though, they taught us to be very conservative. And that's good, too, but there comes a point where it's not good, you know. But you don't frivolously. See, people get some money. Oh, my golly, I got that $1,400 stimulus. You go to the store. It's buy, gone. You know what we did with ours? I saved it. Got a salary. Saved it. I got along without one before. I saved it. That's how we got the vehicle. It didn't even take that long. Saved it. See, you get something, you just don't go out there and blow it. But still, you still tithe on it. You give. I mean, you get some, maybe something you needed, though, too. But my goodness, I'm surprised. I know there's more to all this. Yeah, because it will help people go nuts when they get money. When people that are in poverty, they get money and they go crazy with it. I've seen it, and they're on zero all of a sudden. I can remember when we had little kids, and when Mark was little and all my other ones were little, and somebody said, well, let's go to have a root beer float. And I said, oh, I had a coupon for that. I said, well, I better not. I mean, I wouldn't even get a root beer float because I was trying, you know, I wouldn't indulge myself. Yeah. We were taught to, and some denial was good. That way I didn't have so many calories either. And see, you know, that can it can go too far with that part. And I know that now. But they said, my gosh, can't you even get a root beer float? I remember them saying that to me. And I thought, I just want to save the money. No, it was another lady. Maybe. I don't know. No, I don't know. That was A&W root beer. It's gone now. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Had something else in mind. Yeah. So, you know, wow. I don't know if I have any more. Yeah. You know, too bad I don't have some good notes on it here. I got a lot of good notes on the Holy Ghost at home. But the Holy Spirit is here to lead us. He's here to lead us and guide us in every single arena with our finances. And He will give us also. He will make sure that we're at a place where we give. But you have to, you know, Malachi, Malachi, last book. Maybe verse 3. Will a man rob? Malachi 3:8. Actually, verse 7. Now I'm going to say something else. Okay, go to verse 1. Chapter 1, I mean. Chapter 1, verse 6. Amplified. Okay. Your money makes all the difference in your honor and reverence to God. Yeah. Yeah. Honest to God, you don't, if you don't trust Him with it. Some people don't trust Him with it. And that shows you something, there's wrong, something's not, He's not number one in your life. He isn't. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's the truth. Listen to this. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. And this is God speaking, because then the next sentence, father, is capitalized. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am your master, where is the reverent fear due me? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priest, see, once you're born again, do you know that you have been made kings and priests to your God? And you're supposed to rule and reign on the earth. You have been made kings and priests unto your God. It's in Revelation. It's 10:5, I think. Okay, so even though this is Old Testament, he's talking to you. O priests who despise my name, what? You say, How and in what way have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. And you ask, how have we polluted it and profaned you? By thinking that the table of the Lord is contemptible and may be despised. When you priests offer blind animals for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Present such a thing, a blind or lame or sick animal, now to your governor in payment of your taxes. This is in the Old Testament. Still true. And see what happens. Give him a check that's going to bounce. In other words, will that governor or the people who collect taxes or the IRS, will they be pleased with you? Or will they receive you graciously, says the Lord of hosts? They take taxes right out of your paycheck right now because they don't trust you. Yeah. They take federal tax out. And it's going to get worse, too, probably. That's right. But see, God, to tithe to him, sometimes we don't want to do that. And you can trust God. God, you know, he's asking 10%. It's almost like, I always think of it like the mafia. They would come and say, we'll protect you. You know, if you give us money, insurance money. Well, the insurance company does that. It's an insurance policy to tithe. He protects you. And I've seen it. And give offerings. He overabundance then comes in. And I've seen it happen. See, it says, when the priests offer blind animals or lame ones or sick ones, you know why? Because when they take it to market, they're not going to get anything out of it. So they give the leftover stuff to God, or the leftover stuff. Yeah. Well, sometimes we can get leftovers. Remember, I read that last week, in fact. And it was about Cain and Abel. And people think it's a blood sacrifice. It was because of the blood. But I have a scripture from Leviticus, and I can't think where it's at. Leviticus actually says that bring the first fruits. If you're a farmer, bring the first fruits, in other words. And if you have sheep, bring the first born. And so, see, Cain and Abel, people say, oh, well, it wasn't, he gave a not as good of a sacrifice because it was blood. But it actually says in that chapter there in Genesis, it says that after a period of time, Abel gave an offering to the Lord. I always say he gave his leftover radishes, which are hard and icky. In other words, I'm going to pay all my bills and I'm going to get myself a new dress and some shoes and a purse and all this stuff. And then if I have anything left over, I'll give it to the Lord. You're not ever going to get anywhere. It'll never work. Yeah. See, that's exactly what they're giving, something that they can't get anything from market out of. So, and then they're saying, but you can't give that stuff to the IRS. Or they'll put you in jail if you don't pay your taxes, or they'll do something to you. So, see, even way, I don't know if you ever read that there. Now then, I, Malachi, beg you, priests, entreat God earnestly that he will be gracious to us. Verse 9. With such a gift from your hand as a defective animal for sacrifice, Will he accept it or show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were even one among you whose duty it is to minister to me, says the Lord. You're ministering to the Lord, who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar to no purpose. An empty, futile, fruitless pretense. That's something. See, that's what I was tired of, religion. And I don't want to be fake up here. I want to be real. You know, I was scared to even be in this office way for several years. And it was like, I don't know what to do. And people think that's a woman and that's not right either. But I can't help it. If I quit this, I'd be dead the next week. Because I'd be out of the will of God. But see, God's saying, you bring something to him. And if it means nothing to you, and you just give him some leftovers, he says, I don't have any pleasure in you. You might as well take it and burn it up. It really doesn't do any good. Some people just always give offerings. They never tithe. And you don't even have to tithe. Even Oral Roberts Sr., he used to say, well, I would just give $5 more. You know, something. Get something. Yeah. And that's an offering, and it goes over and above. That's when God can pour out the blessing. Because you're over, you know what? And he says, even in Malachi, I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. Okay, now let's go back to where I was, and then I'll quit. I'm shocked, because I got four sermons up here, and I thought I was going to speak on offense. Maybe, and this is just the offering. Okay. So I know it's the Holy Ghost. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob or defraud God? Well, verse 7 first. Even from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And you say, what? How shall we return? I thought I was there. Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me, but you say, in what way do we rob or defraud you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings. Well, this is Old Testament. Hey, they talk about Melchizedek. Melchizedek actually means tithe, and it's in Hebrews. They talk about in the gospel. How many times you read the Bible? See, well, no, I'm saying to you, people try to refer, that's the Old Testament. No. Read the Bible. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have withheld your tithes and offerings. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, even the whole church. Says nation here. You're robbing the body of Christ. Somebody said this is the reason the rapture hasn't occurred yet. Okay. Now it says you're cursed with a curse. God does not curse you. He's not the one cursing you. Mm-mm. You open the door to the devil. And God can't help it. See, you say, well, why can't God? Okay, think of this. He wrote all this stuff, and he told us what to do to have a blessed life in him. Something's going on. A blessed life in him. And his word is forever established in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will never pass away. He cannot change what he said. He cannot change it. He said, I am God, I change not. Heaven. Okay. So what he's told us, we're supposed to read about it and we're supposed to do it. You're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. When you do the word, he can bless you. When you don't do the word, you open the door to the devil and a curse comes in. You know, the curses in Deuteronomy 28. It's the truth. It's a disobedience. Okay, so then verse 10. Bring all, now he's giving you instruction. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, 10%, into the storehouse, that there may be food, it says meat, in my house. That, you know what? Even you cannot understand the word of God when you don't tithe. You cannot get that revelation knowledge of that word. It's impossible. And prove me. He even says, prove me now. Says the Lord of hosts. If I will not, in other words, prove me. God is saying, prove me. Try it out. Buddy Harrison was the head of FCF, and he actually told people, he started a church, and he said to them, he says, try it for 3 months, and if it doesn't work, he says, I will pay you back every bit of it. I'll give it all back to you. He wants there to be not just baby teaching or preaching in his house, but food in his house. And I know, you know, Sharon Perdue, there was some guy that liked her, and he was a Christian, but he never tithed. And she said, I am not going to marry you. I remember I was standing there, and she says, you don't tithe, and you don't even understand the gospel. And you know why you don't understand it? Because you don't tithe. She was bold, I tell you. Sharon would tell you like it was. And Sharon came from a drug alcohol background and got totally delivered from all of it. Drugs, alcohol. This is a sweetheart. She's still alive in the nursing home. But, okay. And I'll never forget that. I went, ooh, she's right, because that guy just doesn't have revelation knowledge of the word. But he's saying, prove me now in tithe and see, I'll open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The blessings get, like the church. It came on the church. And I'm going, huh? 35 people, and we pay off a $650,000 church. It was more than that because it was on interest. But I paid it off in 12 years as fast as we could so we don't have to pay that interest. That's another thing. Let's just say you get a banana and you get a bunch, but one banana costs 10 cents. You're really paying a dollar for it if you put it on interest. Okay. And I will, and this is another thing he'll do. He'll rebuke the devourer, the insects and the plagues for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Like if you're a farmer. Neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Okay. He rebukes, he cripples and paralyzes the Satan to start. Okay, I know this personally because it was a member of our family one time. Okay, they quit tithing and they had a beautiful home. And that home, a squirrel kept eating right through that garage door, kept eating it and eating it. And other things started to go wrong. And it wasn't, you know, it was a nice home. All kinds of things, yeah. The person himself fell off the roof and broke. Oh my gosh, 36 bones in his body, including his hip and all kinds of things. See, stuff like that, the devourer could not be, God couldn't stop him. Okay, we stop him, we take authority over him. But if you're not, okay, so let's say you don't tithe or give offerings. I wouldn't give any tithes and offerings. Okay, something happens and I go, I rebuke you, Satan. I command you to get your hands off my child, making him sick. It won't work because I haven't been obeying God. It doesn't work. You can have all the authority you want in the world, but it won't work unless you're doing what he says on the sidelines. Okay, I'll finish this. Okay. Verse 12. And all the nations, the people, shall call you happy and blessed. You become happy and blessed. For you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Helping other people and being happy. Here's another one. Verse 13. Your words have been strong and hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken? You have said it's useless. It's stupid to tithe and give offerings. To serve God, in other words. And what profit is it if we keep this ordinance and walk gloomily and as if in mourning apparel before the Lord of hosts? Okay, well, all I can say is it profits. And I think we'll end this and take the tithes and offerings. Have we passed out the... yeah. There's the Holy Ghost. You should see. Got all kinds of stuff on offense and then love walk. You know, even the love walk, when you teach and preach on the love walk, like 1 Corinthians 4 through 8, actually, it all sounds kind of negative because it says you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. Oh, they're talking about love. Oh, and then it's all convicting. Anyway, so let's put that up there. And yeah, you are wonderful people, all of you. We are so blessed to have such wonderful people in our church, honest to God, and faithful. You're the choir. But I'm telling you this so you can tell other people. Okay, Father, I thank you. You know, just really, that's another thing. God can't help you if you don't thank him. Be grateful for him. Everything he gives you, everything. The fact that your body still functions correctly. You know, everything. I thank him all the time. Yeah. As we receive today's offering, we are thanking the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interests and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments, divine favor. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our financial needs, that we have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what? We call forth from the spirit realm, the blessing on you that your God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in the glory in the spirit realm. We call it in from the spirit realm. Now, there's that money up there, but you're calling angels in to bring it and to bless you. Amen.